Well, we're continuing our series, Atomic Brain Invasion, and it's an invasion that's otherworldly. It's a spiritual invasion. It's an invasion that's being led by our spiritual enemy, and the intent, steal, kill, destroy. Destroy your life. Now, this series is a call to protect your mind from that spiritual invasion. You know, Peter encourages Christ followers to resist. He says, "Beloved, remember, you do not belong in this world. You are resident aliens living in exile." Yeah. This world's not your home. You're an alien, a citizen of heaven. And therefore, we are to live different from the world. We're to think differently. We're to see things differently. And the fact is that it should change how we live. You know, Solomon says this in Ecclesiastes 3:1. He says, "For everything there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven." If you read the entire chapter, he says there's times of success, there's times of failure, there's times of celebration, times of complaint, you know, times of possibilities, and there are times of hopelessness. There are times of great gain, and there are times of loss in life. Life is all about time, and today we're shifting gears a little bit, and we're going to focus on how you spend your time, because your time is a big deal. Time is the most precious commodity that you have. The things that you allow to invade your schedule can determine your joy, your happiness, your peace. It can determine the amount of pressure and stress and fatigue that you live with. You know, how you spend your time will ultimately determine what you do with your one and only life that God has given you. You know, you ever noticed that everybody has an agenda for you? Yeah? You know, you can't please everybody. You know, you've got to understand that. You can try, but it'll never, ever happen. But you can please God. God created you on purpose. God created you for a purpose. And as you find your purpose, you're able to do that as you're obedient to God, as you're faithful, as you surrender to God in each and every moment of every day. And friends, I want to tell you, purpose has power. It keeps you moving. It will keep you on track. It will keep you from wasting your life. And sadly, and I always hate saying this, but some of you will never live the kind of life that God wants you to live. You'll never be who God fully created you to be as a Christ follower, as a spouse, as a parent, as a person. You'll never reach your full potential vocationally, because it's not that you outright defy God, but it's you lack strength. You lack energy. You lack focus. The fact is, you're so tired and so preoccupied and overwhelmed that you just don't follow God fully. And I believe if Satan cannot entice you to do something bad, see, we think that's all he wants to do. But what he will do is try and keep you so busy, so unfocused, so exhausted, to the point that you miss God's will for your life, and he's okay with that. You know, you will live with all this pressure, this weariness, this being overwhelmed, that you don't follow God's will for your life. And friends, I want to tell you, life is too precious. You have to learn to pace yourself, the song says. Pressure. You know, you live like everybody else in the world, guess what you get? Oh, come on now. What do you get? Pressure. How many of you wish you had more time for something that's really important? Let me see hands. Yeah, you've got something, you know you should do it, but you just don't have time. You know, I wish I had time to rest more, or I wish I had time to read, or I wish I had time for this hobby, or I wish I had time, more time to spend with the kids, or more time to spend with my spouse. I wish I had more time. You fill in the blank, okay? I know this is important, but I've got this project at home to work on. You know, I know this is really important, but I've got all these errands to run today. I know this is really important, but I got to get caught up on social media. I wish I could do this, but I don't have enough what? Time. Pressure. No, you got pressure. You just don't have the time. You know, I've noticed when I ask people, and this has been true my entire ministry, I ask people, hey, how are you doing? And the most common response is always, I'm busy. You know, I am not sure in all the years I've asked that question, I've had anybody respond and go, yeah, just chilling. You know, having some good quality time with the kids and my family. You know, don't have much going on, just been relaxing, kicking back, you know, focusing on God. How you doing? Busy. I wish I had more time. There's just not enough time in the day. And I want you to hear this. You have time for what you choose to have time for, period. And in fact, anytime you say, I wish I had more time for whatever, again, you fill in the blank, the reality is you are choosing, you're making a decision to make something else the priority in your life. Don't like to hear that, do we? We have time for what we choose to have time for. And I'm gonna challenge you and say at some point, you have to choose what's important over the urgent stuff. And that's a challenge. And I understand some of you are confused big time right now. You go, well, I thought the urgent stuff is the important stuff. No, it's not. They're not the same. And I want to clarify because there's a difference between urgent and important. You know, for instance, your car, it needs to be repaired because you didn't change the oil in it, which will cause a major problem, by the way. And so getting the engine repaired is urgent, very urgent. But I would argue that changing the oil is important. You see there? I mean, here's another example. You get sick because you don't take care of yourself. You know, you're overwhelmed, you're not eating right, you're not sleeping right, you get sick, you gotta go to the doctor, and when you go to the doctor, that's urgent, you know. But taking care of your body so you don't get sick is what? Important. You following this? When it comes to your time, I'm suggesting you have to choose what's important so you can avoid the urgent in life. You know, Seth Godin, dot-com guy, he's kind of a marketing guru, author, speaker. He's got a blog. I don't read it all the time, but once in a while I'll catch it. Very, very insightful. And a while back, he was talking about time and this whole basic concept of that you got to deal with what's important. And he said, if you deal with what's important, you won't have to deal with as many things that are urgent. You know, you'll still have some stuff, but you won't have as many. But he did something really interesting. About midway, he flips it. He goes, if you only choose to deal with what is urgent, you will miss the important things in life. I was like, ooh, that makes sense. You know, the book of Luke, there's a story, two sisters. You got Mary and Martha. I always think it sounds like a sitcom or something, but you got Mary and Martha, and scripture says this, now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village, talking about Jesus there, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the feet and listened to what he was saying. Now, if you read ahead or you know the story, you know that Martha is overwhelmed. She's overwhelmed with the preparations for Jesus coming to the house. She's feeling pressure, you know, because she wanted everything to be right. And I get it. I do not blame her for what she's doing because Jesus is coming to the house. Think about that. You know, how many of you, if someone that you love, that you respect, admire, if they come to your house, how many of you go into overdrive? Yeah, you're cleaning, you're picking up, you're throwing stuff in the closets, you're shopping, you're making preparations, you're doing everything you can. Anybody does that? You do that at your house? Yeah. I will tell you, it drives Cindy crazy. You know, my wife is like, you know, she likes us to be planned. I want it to be perfect. And it causes stress, pressure. This isn't anybody that's coming to the house. This is Jesus, you know, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And so Martha does what all of us would probably do, and she's overwhelmed by the urgent, by the moment. And I wonder, how often do we create the urgency in life? You know, Martha puts all these demands on herself. She made it urgent. Mary's sitting, chilling out with Jesus, listening to Jesus. The story continues, says, but Martha was what? Distracted. She's distracted by all of her many tasks. You know, anybody distracted today? You know, running, doing, getting, got all this stuff to do. Martha, she's distracted. I've got all this stuff to get done. It's so important. I've got to make sure everything's right. She's running around doing stuff. Finally, she can't stand it anymore. She kind of loses it. So she came to him, Jesus, and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to do all the work myself? Tell her then to help me. You know, she's complaining about her sister. She's on overload. She's reeling from the pressure. Got all these things to do. I'm doing it all by myself. I can't believe nobody's helping me with this. I can't believe my sister's not helping me. Tell her to help me. How many of you are distracted today? How many of you are pursuing the urgent, but you're neglecting the important? Or let me ask it this way. What is the most important thing that you're not doing because you're distracted? Some of you are distracted, and you're distracted from spending time with God and with Jesus Christ. You know, I haven't put him first. Haven't made him a priority. I haven't aligned my heart with God. Distracted. Some of you, you know, you're like, well, I'm so busy. I'm not really connecting with my kids like I should. You know, I've got my kids doing so many things, I'm not even enjoying them. Sound familiar? Got so many things to do. We're just running. Well, you're a functional family, but I'm guessing not a fun family. I mean, some of you have become so child-centric that the fact is, your whole world's revolving around the kids, and I would argue you're distracted. You're neglecting your marriage sometimes because of it. And I'll just tell you, the marriage is the glue that holds the family together. But so busy doing stuff that you miss the very thing that actually will strengthen and nurture your children, and that's your relationship with your spouse. You know, some of you might say, well, you know, I've kind of neglected my health these days. There's so much going on. I'm on the road. I'm on the move all the time. You know, I should eat better, but I don't. A lot of fast food. You know, I ought to work out. I've tried. I just don't have time to do it. And so you push it back. Some of you, it might be an addiction or a reoccurring sin that you're battling. You know you need help, but you continue to neglect it. It's really important, but you haven't done it. Why? Because it takes time, commitment. It'll be hard. Friends, there are so many urgent things in life. Martha, she's distracted. And I love this, because it says, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted about many things. You know, you're stressed out, Martha. You're feeling the pressure from doing all this unnecessary stuff. You know, Martha, don't you get it? Jesus says, one thing's important. Mary has made the right choice, and it will never be taken away from her. Martha got caught up in the urgent, the urgency that she created. And in her frenzy, she ends up missing out on the most important thing. And friends, I will tell you, if you're not intentional in your life about the choices you make, the urgent will always crowd out what's important. It happens all the time. I see it derail people all the time. You have time for what you choose to have time for. And I believe with God's grace and God's power, you can choose what's important. You know, Paul writes this in Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. It says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, what? Making the most of the time, because these days are evil. They'll get you sidetracked. The choices you make have far, far, far greater implications than you can ever imagine. Here's a few things that have helped me. Maybe they'll help you. You know, if you're going to do what matters most, you got to put it on your calendar first. I know some of you, you're like, well, now, you know, if I have time, I'm going to do this. You know, if things ever slow down, I'm gonna start doing that. Still waiting, huh? It's important to put on your schedule that which matters most, period. And everything's not important, by the way. But you got to put it there first. You know, our story with Mary and Martha, the most exact interpretation of one thing is important. Well, Jesus was saying, what matters most is spending time with me, spending time with God. Mary chose to sit and listen to Jesus, and he says, it can never be taken away from her. She's never going to regret this. This is the good stuff. Some of you, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, but you're not spending time with God. You know, you're kind of hit and miss when it comes to church. You're not really aligning your heart on a daily basis, you know, aligning toward God's kingdom, what God would have you do. Why? Because you're doing too much. You know, you keep adding more and more and more things to your life and to your schedule. And friends, what happens is it crowds out what's important, the important stuff. And I know, you love God. You want to make a difference with your life. But if you don't seek Him first, you're going to get in trouble. Because if you don't seek Him first, well, you're going to be too tired to do it, too busy to do it, too distracted to do it. Why? Because you've said yes to too many things. It's why you do first what's the most important. It's why it goes on the schedule. You know, it gets the highest priority in your life. Why? Because it's the most important thing you'll ever do, period. There isn't anything that even comes close. The most important thing you can do for your life is spend time with God and work on your relationship with Jesus Christ. And let me say something to parents. You're teaching your children what matters most. Not because you said it, but because you actually live it. That's always been an issue. Oh, we say this, but we do this. Well, that gets seen through pretty quick. The most important thing, do it first. You know, start your day. I've said this just about every message, haven't I, in this series, but you start your day spending time with God. I start my day every day spending time with God, you know, whether it's reading scripture or having devotion or prayer. Sometimes it's just having a conversation. Hey, here's what's going on in my life. You know, God, guide me. Give me insight into the day. What happens is it realigns my heart each day. It renews my mind. It helps give me perspective. I do it first because it's the most important thing I can do. You need to do that too. What's first? What's the most important? You know, Jesus said this. He says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You ever wonder why you're not experiencing the abundant life or the best of life? You always feel like it's coming up short. Well, I think the problem is people take this verse and they reverse it. And so what they think is, hey, God, add all this good stuff to my life, you know, let me have all that, then I'll seek You. And friends, that's backwards. It does not work that way. It'll never work that way. If you honor God, if you seek God first, then the thing that matters the most, you do first, then the other things start falling into place. Don't misunderstand me. It doesn't mean you won't have problems and struggles, but stuff starts landing. You go, oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. My challenge to you is be selective about your yeses. It will help you choose what's important. And I'm going to basically, I'll beg you, plead with you to be careful and prayerful about what you say yes to, what your family says yes to, because it will define you. This stuff is important. Too often the barrier to that meaningful life, it's not your lack of commitment. It's being overcommitted. You know, you're too busy, too overwhelmed. You know, you're too worried, distracted. You deal with all this pressure, and it steals from you. And just FYI, busyness does not equal productivity, does not equal meaning, does not equal fulfillment in life. You know, some of you, instead of having we're always going, oh, I got a to-do list. You need a to-don't list. Stuff you're not going to do. In fact, I would argue that might revolutionize your life. things you will no longer do, things your family will no longer say yes to, things that you will say no. So you can say yes to things that are more important. Successful people, if you kind of observe their life, you realize they've learned to say no. Why? So they can say yes to the best things. They've learned to say no so that even good things, you go, well, it's a good thing. Well, you still may need to say no. Why? So you can say yes to great things in life. You cannot do it all. You shouldn't do it all. But you can do the important things, the best things. You know, the best leaders I know don't do more. They do more of what's important. You know, the best parents I know, they don't do more. They do more of the things that are important. The best followers of Jesus Christ I know, they don't do more. They do more of what's important, what matters, what pleases God. That's where the focus is. Be selective. Be selective about what you say yes to. And even when you're careful with that, I believe it's really easy to be stressed out still. You know, because there's pressure. You got this stuff to do, right? And something that has helped me significantly in the last probably 20 years is I started creating deadlines that are fake deadlines, so to speak. You know, I started creating these deadlines to push the time frame back. And I think I've shared this before. I mean, one of the things I did early on was, you know, my message that you're listening to right now, technically, it's not due till 10:25 this morning. Then I actually start sharing my message. But on my schedule, my message is due Thursday night, period. It's been my deadline for 30 years probably. Because sharing God's word is a really important part of what I do. You know, on a Sunday morning, I can touch more lives in this half hour than I can the whole week put together. And so why in the world would I take something that's that important and go, hey, I'll play it by ear and get it done at the last minute, you know, up there writing, going, oh, I've got five more minutes. Why would I do that? The other thing it does by setting those kind of deadlines is it frees me up. I mean, I have other important things I do. Lead a church, be a good husband, good father, grandfather. But by setting up that artificial deadline, it frees me up to handle the other important things. And many of you know, I've taken Fridays off as my day off for years. And when my girls were young, Friday was family time or it was date night. And because my message was done, I could actually focus on my family, on my wife. You know, if my message wasn't done, well, kind of hanging in the balance, I would have been distracted. My mind would have been elsewhere. I've been like, hey, let's hurry up, get this family time over because I got stuff to do, you know. But that artificial deadline guarded something else that was important. You see what I'm talking about here? This stuff works if you put it to practice. How do you stay focused? You know, allow time for what's important. Friends, you say no to things that aren't important. You delegate some things. You limit your time for doing some things so that you can do the most important things. This is a simple thing, but think about this. You know, cleaning the house. It's an endless task, yes? So you set an artificial deadline with that. I'm going to clean the house for 1 hour. You'll stay focused. You'll stay at it, you know. I'm only going to clean a specific area in my house. Again, you confine it down, and what you find is you're more effective, you're more efficient, and it frees you up to do other important things. See, you can choose what's important. And if you do, it's something you never regret. You know, it's the best way to live. It leads to the abundant life of what God wants for you, the best life. Now, you've got to know this. Satan will not sit back quietly and just let it happen. You know, in fact, he will try everything he can to invade your mind, lie to you, guilt you. You got to do that. You got to do that. Everybody else is doing it. You need to do it too. He'll try and manipulate you. And as he invades here, it invades your schedule. Because he knows this. If he can keep you running, distracted, overwhelmed, if he can keep you depleted and living with all this pressure, he knows you will not have time to be still before God. You won't have time to seek God first. You won't invest in the most important things in life. You'll just run, do this, do that. Simple question today. What's the most important thing that you're neglecting in your life right now? Choose one. Maybe it's your spiritual life and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your finances, your health. I don't know. But one thing that you go, you know what? I'm going to get this turned around. I'm going to get it on the schedule. Some of you have allowed the urgent to crowd out the important stuff. And just ask God to help you choose more wisely, to pare some things back, to really establish what is most important that I'm doing. And I know how this goes, because you go, well, if I do that and I put that stuff on the calendar, then I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do this and this and this and this. That's the point. Do the important stuff. Do that first. Then you can figure out. It doesn't mean you don't go have fun. I've got basketball on my schedule. Thursday nights, I go play hoops. It's been that way for ages. That's not the most important thing I do, not even close, but I enjoy that. It's so okay. But I can't have a bunch of things like that, or otherwise the important stuff gets pushed out. God can help you do that. And friends, when you put God first, you put the important stuff first, all the other things will fall into place, or they'll drop out. And guess what will dial down? Pressure. The pressure that destroys, steals, that just messes us up. So let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you. God, we lay our calendars before you. God, I pray that we'd make the important things the priority. God, forgive us when we're so busy running, we're missing what's really important. God, may we, just with our lives, with what we say and do, may we please you. God, help us to be the people you called us to be. You've created us to be. God, I just lay it all before you, Lord. May we honor you with what we say and do. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. We're going to celebrate in communion today. We're doing it by intention. There's a lot of different ways you can serve communion. This is one of them. There will be people down front that will have a cup and they'll have a wafer. You take one of the wafers, you dip it into the cup. You can, some of you make them out of a background where you break the wafer and dip it, that's fine. Ushers will dismiss by rows. If you cannot come down to celebrate and you would like communion, if you just raise your hand, ushers in the back will serve you, and we've got several over here, and they'll serve you. And so let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, these elements that they represent your sacrifice. And God, as we celebrate, we are mindful of our sins, our brokenness. And God, we lay that down before you. God, this bread and this cup, it reminds us of your grace, the great work that was done through Jesus. God, we praise you for that. Because of him, we can celebrate. Because of his death and his burial, his resurrection, we can experience the best life, the guilt-free life, an abundant life. So, Lord, we bring our sins and we experience grace in this moment. God, we thank you for this opportunity. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Come, let's celebrate. Ushers will dismiss you by row. Let's celebrate together.